Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Praise the Lord. I like being in good shape. Amen? If you can't be in good shape physically, be in good shape spiritually. Bodily exercise does what? Profiteth little. Exercise yourselves rather, the Bible says, to godliness. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to tend to the needs of your body. Amen. Your body needs air. Amen. Your body needs food and water. And it needs work. Body needs work. It needs to move around a little bit. Get up and going, all right? You know, I got something in my heart. I don't know if God's leading in this or not. But I've just been bugged this week over the Bible issue. And it's just really got me going. So If I just kind of walk down a little bunny trail, would that be okay with everybody today? Who's bothering me? All right. I think we got it. I've got people out there that are letting me know that whether or not we're streaming right. Our sound was down this morning, so I think we got it taken care of. Anyway, take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 7 while I sit here and think about what I'm going to do. Good to have you all with us this morning. Good to have everybody here. Nice, beautiful fall day that God has given us. It is just absolutely gorgeous out there. And woke up to a little fog this morning. And it's pretty fog is what it is. It's nice, beautiful fog. And just thank God for it. I tell you what, I'm not gonna rest till I get this out of me. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians 7. And I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:16. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Who in here learned the books of the New Testament by way of a song? Anybody? Did you? Was it Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John? More hip hop. I was thinking, what, Julia, Highway to Hell? And no, okay. Bible break song. I like mine better. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Galatians, Ephesians. Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. You should all learn that. 2 Timothy 3:16. Are you there? Say amen. Look at verse 13. In fact, I want to back up verse 13. I'm just going to deal with this. I just can't let it go. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax, how? Worse and worse. What does the word wax mean? It's the opposite of wane. Okay? The moon waxes and wanes. The moon waxes, you go out one night, you don't see any moon, and then all of a sudden you see it, a little thumbnail, a little crescent out in the sky, and it starts waxing. It starts growing and becoming greater and greater until you have a full moon. The waning is when it starts going back down. That's the waxing and the waning. That's what that word means. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Were there false prophets in Moses' day? He warned about them. Were there false teachers in Jesus' day? He said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There were false teachers in Paul's day. And now he's telling Timothy as a pastor of a church, they're going to get worse. than what they are right now. And I'll tell you something, we're using every means that we can here to try to spread the gospel and spread the truth out of this church. We're using the technology of cameras and internet and video and just about everything that we can think of that we can afford to do. This is what we're doing here. But I'll tell you what, those same mediums are being used to promote godlessness, filth inside of the church, false doctrines, heresies, and getting people to run away from the Bible. Run away from the King James Bible. And they are waxing worse and worse. And Paul's telling this to Timothy as a bishop, telling him, you watch over your flock. You tend to your people. Now, sometimes you come in here and I start hitting on this stuff. You may not, as far as this group here, may not understand what's going on, may not understand why I'm hitting on this again or why I'm dealing with it again. You need to remember there's probably 800 or 1,000 people watching us on any given service, either live or they'll watch it, they'll download it later on and watch it. And I want to tell you something, they're out there because they have people hitting them all the time over the Bible issue. And they're nailing them right and left over this issue of the Bible. And I want to tell you something, either the Bible's right or I'm closing the book and I'm going home. Okay? I'll walk away. If this Bible's got one mistake in it, I'm not standing for it. I won't preach it. I won't have anything to do with it. If you want to settle for a lesser standard, be my guest. But God sets high standards. He knows that we can't get... In fact, the Old Testament law was a high standard. It was a standard that nobody could keep except Christ. He kept the standard. He did not disobey the law one place, one time. God establishes high standards for truth. We tend to say, well, I think they're a good guy and I think they tell the truth. The truth of it is we know that everybody in this room to some degree will not be truthful about something, and that's something that we all know. Let's get honest about it. Amen? I'm not saying that you lied on your taxes. I'm not saying you cheated on your wife. I'm just saying that none of us in this room have the capacity to only tell the truth 100% of the time. Amen. And we have learned to accept that as far as what God says. God's not us, and we're not God. And God does not have the same standard. God says, the word must be right. A prophet must be right 100% of the time. If he's wrong one time, he's not my prophet. That's what God said. And if this Bible's wrong one time, it is not the word of God. I do not accept the idea that all Bibles have mistakes in them. That is contradictory to Scripture, and I won't buy it. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want... I am stirred up already. There's guys out there running around trying to tell people that there's mistakes in all the Bibles. Don't worry about it. That's a setup. It's a setup doctrine. And you heard it from me. If anybody out there, I don't care what they're preaching, prophecy, I don't care if they're preaching evangelism, soul wisdom, soul winning, I don't care if they're preaching family and marriage, I don't care what they're preaching and what their idea is. If they say there's a mistake in the Bible, you run away from that. You get away from that guy. Okay? There's something else that's going to slide in underneath the doorway of your mind that he's going to introduce to you, whether willingly, knowingly, or subtly through the devil. It's going to be slipped in. And I will not accept that, and I don't think you ought to either. But anyway, he says this in this context. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Somebody asked me, do you think like people like Benny Hinn, Kenneth Hagin and Joyce and all these people, do you think they really know what they're doing? I think in some cases, I think in some cases, there are just shysters, crooks, and adulterers and covetous people out there that know that they're raking in millions of dollars by seducing people, and they know they're doing it. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. There are false teachers out there that actually believe that what they're saying is true. You see, they are being deceived. They have deceived themselves, and then they go and they deceive others. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy that the scriptures equals salvation. The scriptures made him wise unto salvation. The scriptures is what confronted you about your sin. The scriptures is what told you about Christ. The scriptures is what told you how to meet Jesus, how to repent. It's the scriptures that taught us all of these things. Let's not walk away from them, because if we walk away from the scriptures, we walk away from salvation, people. And I want you to notice that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. Now, here's one of the big deals, Brady, that you'll run into. These guys have all been to Bible college and they've been to seminary. You've been there, right? Okay? They teach you in seminary that only the original manuscripts were the inspired word of God. Sound familiar? Okay? They teach you the original manuscripts are the only infallible, inspired word of God. And we don't have any originals. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, what Bible did Timothy have? He did not have original manuscripts. He had copies, and Paul referred to them as what? Holy. You know what holy means? Infallible, inerrant, not marred by corruption, clean, pure. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth. Timothy had the Holy Scriptures, and he had them from a child. He knew the Holy Scriptures from a child. Now, granted, probably up at that time, he had access to the Old Testament. The New Testament was right now being written. But he had access to what Paul referred to as the Holy Scriptures, and they were able to make him wise unto salvation. That from a child that's known the Holy Scriptures. Verse 11. Now he says, all scripture. All scripture. I read, Brian, last night I read a doctrinal statement from a guy who said that, I mean, he talks like he believes the Bible. The Bible, the inerrant, infallible word of God in the original manuscripts. Yeah. But then he follows it up and says this. Having said that, I do not believe that only the 66 books of the Bible are the inspired word of God. So what is? What is? Watchtower literature? Is it inspired? The Book of Mormon? Is that inspired? Is that the inspired word of God? All scripture. Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation. That's the scriptures. Okay? All scripture is given. I want you to notice the word is. Bill Clinton had a big problem with this word, if you remember back in the 90s. Yeah, he couldn't. Could you define what is? Okay? That goes way back to Monica Lewinsky deal. The word is. Jared is walking into the room right now. How you doing, Jared? The word he, now, Jared has walked into the room. That happened 20 seconds ago. Okay? Is means present. Right now. And you can think that, well, this is, it didn't really mean that. Paul said all scripture is given right now. By inspiration of God. Is God writing new Bible? No. But every time this book is read, the Spirit breathes. That's what inspiration means. When you read this book, you're reading the words of God, and the Holy Ghost is breathing life into your soul. Walk away from it, and you die. It's just like somebody stuffing a pillow over your face. When you're cut off from the air, you die. And it don't take long either. Did you know you can go probably 40 days without food? 50, 60 sometimes. You can go probably maybe 2 or 3 days without water. You can't last but about 2 or 3 minutes without air. Okay? And here's your air right here. Here's your spirit. All scripture is given by inspiration, present tense, of God, and is profitable for doctrine. Your doctrine should come from the 66 books of the inspired Word of God. Your doctrine should come from the inspired, inerrant, infallible, incorruptible Word of God. If your doctrine comes from a corruptible Bible, then your doctrine is corrupted. If you want to base what you believe upon, let's say, the NIV, then you do not believe that prayer and fasting can be used to encounter stubborn devils. You cannot believe that. If you want to believe that your doctrine should come from all translations, then you have a quandary as to who it is that you're going to believe was in the fiery furnace and who it is that fell from heaven and what it takes in order to be baptized. And are there three persons in the Godhead instead of just two or instead of just one? You cannot get your doctrine right if your Bible's corrupted. It will not work. And this is why I'm just telling people, I'm probably at some point, hopefully soon, do a very, very in-depth study on how to spot wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay? How to spot wolves. And so I was just reading some things, and it just, you know, maybe I should go through this again. I've done it before years ago. Maybe I should go through it again because they're waxing worse. The false teachers are worse now than they were 20 years ago. And maybe they've been around that long. It's just now I'm just now spotting them. But I want to tell you something. They are everywhere. They are all over the place. And they are stealing the sheep in every place. A lady wrote on, there is a Mike Hoggard Bethel Church Facebook group. Okay? And there was some people that wrote, a lady wrote on there last night that she is having to defend the Bible with some of her Facebook people that are of the persuasion that there is no such thing as a perfect Bible. And she said she was getting all kinds of grief from them and this and that and the other. And she said something, it just sounded right to me. And I'll tell you, I told my testimony when I was up in Lansing, Michigan. I was doing a meeting up there for the Club O' Prophecy. And up there, a guy came to me, and I've told this story before, but it's just a guy came up to me, and he said, "Have you ever seen this Bible?" Now, for some reason, God, I don't know why I didn't, but I didn't reach out and take it. The first thing in my mind was, is it a King James? And that's what I asked the man. Is it a King James? He said, "It's based on the King James." That's not the same. Amen? That is not the same. And what he told me was that it was one of these sacred name edition Bibles. They had taken Jesus out. 980 some odd times they had taken Jesus' name out and replaced it. Every place in the New Testament where it said, and in the Old Testament where it said Lord, they took it out and replaced it with Yahweh or something like that. That is not his name, by the way. It's not his name. I don't believe that, and I don't buy that for a second. Anybody says that, I'm just going, read the Bible, okay? They had taken that out, and they had their own little sacred name addition. What they had done was they had altered the Word of God to suit their doctrine. That's what they did. And so these people were sitting kind of like over here where Phil and Sherry are. I'm not saying anything, but that's kind of where they were. No, I'm just kidding. They were sitting back here kind of in the corner, and I had figured out what they were doing. You know what they were doing? They were showing up to these Prophecy Club meetings to make proselytes of these people. They were trying to suck these people into their church. And toward the end of the meeting, this group over here was people that wanted to believe the Bible was right. They were eating up the teaching. And this group back here, one of these guys thought he was going to try to stump me. And he said, "Well, what about where the Bible says Easter?" And he's real ignorant about it too. And I said, "Well, what about it?" He said, "It's a mistake in the Bible." Well, I opened my can of King James up on him. And I got my rod and staff out, and I read to these people over here. I said, "You know what? These are the flock of God, and I'm a shepherd here tonight for these people. I'm a one-night shepherd for these people, and I'm not going to let these wolves come and steal these lambs out of this flock." And I went after him. I told him, I said, "I want to tell you, anybody who believes there's a mistake in the Bible is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because they stumble at the word being disobedient." And that's what I said about it. I said it while they were sitting there staring me down. You could hear them going, "Arr!" All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So you stand for this Bible. And don't back down from it. It's given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. You want to prove something? Go to the Bible and prove it. For correction. When your brain is wrong, when your mind is not right, and you're weighing about whether or not a certain doctrine that you heard from somebody is right or not, go to the Bible. It'll correct it. For instruction in righteousness, because we don't know how to live right. We don't. We do not know how to live right. We don't know how to dress right. We don't know how to talk right. We don't know how to think right. We don't know how to act right. We don't know how to treat our wives. We don't know how to treat our husbands. We don't know how to treat our children. We don't know how to work. We don't know how to do anything that's right. This Bible will teach us how to do things that are right. That the man of God may be perfect. And if your Bible's not perfect, how can the man of God be perfect? See, that's a quandary right there. But see, that part is taken out of the NIV. They've taken that the man of God may be, the word perfect is omitted. And then they just join together that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See how slick that is? They could not handle the idea of a perfect Bible, so they took it out. Because it disproves their doctrine. And so anyway, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This Bible is the pattern of which we should worship our God, preach about our God, teach about our God, and everything that we do that's right, there is a pattern given to us in the Scriptures. And if anybody ever comes to tell you that God does things that are not in the 66 books of the Bible, they're a liar, and God said they're a liar. You don't have to worry about calling somebody a liar if God already called them a liar. In fact, he already did, because God said, let God be true, and every man's a liar. Every man is a liar. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter, what did I say, chapter 1? I meant chapter 2. See, I make mistakes. The Bible does not make any mistakes. Verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, wherefore it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You will never, if there is ever an area of confusion in your life, all you need to do is read more Bible, and God will clear up the confusion. I've taught this before, and I've said it like this. There are issues with me that are just black and white. I know that this is wrong, and I know that's right, and so on and so on. There are, in my mind, I'll be honest with you, there are issues that are gray areas in my mind. Okay? That's only because, it's not because I want them to be. It's only because I don't know everything that I probably need to know. But I am convinced the more that I read this book and the more I'm in the Scripture, the things that are in gray areas are moved to one side or the other. God does not leave them there. So he said, if I'm not sure if this is wrong or right, the more Scripture you read, all of a sudden you'll just read something and God will say, now Mike, this is wrong. Thank you, God, for putting it there. Thank you. I'm sorry, dear God, for breaking your word. I'm sorry for going against your word. God, teach me more so that all this stuff in the gray areas, I know where it belongs. I want my life right with God. I want my life right with God. I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect, but I want to be there. And you read this Bible, and it'll put it there. So verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And if Jesus is precious, his word is precious. And I'm going to say this, and I don't know. I slept good. I'm not in a bad mood or anything like that, but I'm not going to be nice about this issue. You can tell how someone believes about Jesus by listening to what they say about the Bible.
Amen.
Oh, I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But these Bibles are so messed up. No, you don't love Jesus. Nope. Mm-mm. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. His commandments are his book. It's his word. Okay? And so anyway, unto you that believe, Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be what? disobedient. Disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed. There are church, how many churches, Wayne, are being built on something other than this Bible?
Thousands.
All over the place. This, if I remember, we had a good conversation at dinner. You don't mind me talking about you, do you? I mean, you showed up here, you know. That's what you get. Okay, all right, good deal. Sign the waiver. He is. I heard his testimony Friday night. He has been through the deal. He's been through the churches that were ecumenical. Oh, let's all just get together. I mean, he's been here and there, and he's been all over the place, and he has seen what has been done. He's seen the churches and the things that have been built on something other than this Bible. Did I say that right? Because I don't want to misquote you. Okay? And I'll tell you, if you get out a little bit, which you don't have to, but if you get out there a little bit and go around and see what's going on, you'll understand it. You'll know what I'm talking about. The stone of The stone which the builders disallowed. That is this stone right here. They disallowed this Bible. They said, we won't build, we're not going to have one of them King James churches. We're going to have us a coffee shop and a bar. And we're going to have us a rock band. And we're going to have us, we're going to have like 10, 20 different translations up there. Nobody will be able to keep score on which Bible we're using from service to service. They'll never be able to keep track of it. In fact, they won't even bring a Bible anymore. That's what we want. We want everybody to come so we can talk sleazy to them and have sleazy services and sleazy messages that ought not be talked about inside the house of God. That's what we're going to build our church on, and that's exactly what they're doing right now. It is wrong. I could not believe this. A church in Joplin, Missouri, Wayne. I know you don't listen to this kind of music, and I had not heard the rest of this song, but on a commercial. I don't even want to say what it is. There's a sleazy song, sleazy, nasty song that I've heard about this much of it on a commercial that the church, two guys up on the stage of this church was singing this song in the service, worship service. Sleaze. Disgusting stuff. Talking about, look at my body. What do you think about my body? Anyway, they're building churches on that kind of stuff. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same has made the head of the corner. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, I want you to listen to me now. I'm going to use this to segue into the message this morning. I think God's just kind of putting all this together. I want to read this verse again. Verse 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. I want you to ask the question, what happens when someone stumbles? They fall. And God laid a message on my heart, and I was going to preach something else, and God kind of laid something in my heart, and I woke up thinking about it this morning. And I want to say to you this morning, I want you to listen to me, and listen to me very carefully. If I said in here, who in here believes the King James Bible, say amen.
Amen.
See how easy that was? Let me tell you what can draw you away from that, and you can be drawn away from that. You see, we're not saved by the works that we do. And we're not kept saved by the works that we do. But we are saved by our belief and faith. And there have been many who have come in and said, I believe, who no longer believe. The contract is null and void, because that's the terms of the contract. And I want to say this to you. Watch your sins. Watch out. Be careful. Let go of some things. walk away from some people. Shut down areas of your mind that should have been shut down a long time ago. Lifestyles, habits, thoughts, words, deeds, attitudes, things your eyes look on, things your ears listen to, things your mouth says, things your hands do. Watch out. Sin is a deceiver. Sin is a deceiver. It'll deceive you into thinking. There was a guy, there's untold thousands of people that have probably come to an altar because of what this man did. His name is Ray Bolts. He went around singing. He wrote songs that one's called The Altar. If you ever listen to the words of that song, it'll bring you to tears. He wrote a song called Thank You for Giving to the Lord. I mean, big, big. I went to see him. He was up First Baptist in Arnold several years ago. We went up there to see him. I enjoyed it. Man's a sodomite and has been. And he came out saying, it's okay for me to be a sodomite and still be a Christian. Sin will deceive you. Sin will deceive you into thinking that you can live sinful and holy at the same time. Sin is a deceiver. And what happens is, I believe that we only use the King James Bible. But then what happens is that your sinfulness takes over. And all of a sudden now, what it says here clearly, all of a sudden, it doesn't really mean that anymore. And there's a reason why you decide it doesn't mean that anymore. You decided it doesn't mean that because there's an area of sinfulness in your life that was looking for that opportunity. Looking for that stronghold. For you to open up a stronghold in your life so that now there are parts of the Bible that you don't really believe what it says. Even though you say, we only use the King James. See, that now it's not true. You do use the King James, but you also use what somebody said the original Greek or the original Hebrew said. That's what happens. That's how it happens. Gary, is that not what you have seen time and time again? They say, well, King James, King James, King James. Then one day, a guy gets up behind the pulpit and he says this word here, a better way of saying this is, or according to the original, it really says this. Now, really, this is not the best translation. That's where it started. Reg Kelly will come here and tell you, he's told this story before. He told it to us downstairs when he was visiting, and I've heard him preach it in a sermon. He said there was a guy that he admired all his life. He said this guy had put thousands of verses out of this Bible into his mind, memorizing. So he could just quote whole passages of Scripture out of the King James. So it was just a marvel. He said what happened when his sons got into these social churches back east. And their dad started coming down on his position. Reg said, he sat in my living room. If I was to ever confront Reg Kelly, it would not be in his house. Man's got a lot of weapons, okay? He sat in his living room and told him, he said, yeah, the Bible, the King James got errors in it. It's got mistakes in it. You know, you go to the Strong's Concordance and you'll look and see that there's errors there. They didn't translate everything right. And Red said, I jumped up. And he said, I started going after this guy. And this old man jumped up and he said, you're rebuking an elder. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, nobody tells me my Bible's wrong. I don't care how old you are.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. You watch out because it'll come.
Yeah.
You watch out because it will show up. It'll show up through pride. It'll show up through ignorance. It'll show up through sin. It'll show up in some way. Maybe the circumstance, maybe people are maybe you're wanting to be in with a group. And the only way to be in with that group is that if you tone it down a little bit on your stand on the Bible. Because they want to accept you in. But as long as you take a firm stand on this Bible, they won't accept you in because you're a nut job. And so here's what you do. Privately, quietly, you try to straddle the fence a while. With this group around me, you're going to say, oh, I believe the King James. And then with this group over here, it's something different. You're two-faced, and a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, I can understand because I have been through it since 1998 when the Holy Ghost came in that office and said, this is the Word of God right here. Believe every word of it. And I surrendered to that, but that faith has been challenged. It has been challenged. But I'm telling you, what I did was, in fact, let me just read this. I say this before, I don't say this again. Rule number one, there are no mistakes in the Bible. That's rule number one. In fact, if you want to take a pen, right here on this page here where it says Holy Bible, King James Version, take a pen and write down rule number one. There are no mistakes in this Bible, translational or otherwise. There are no missing numbers. There are no contradictions. There are no mistranslations. There are no archaic words that don't really have any meaning anymore. That's rule number one, and all the sub-rules that go with it. But if you just want to keep it simple, rule number one, there's no mistakes in this Bible. Rule number two, if I think I found one, or someone tried to show me there was one, please refer back to rule number one. It's that, and I'm going to, you say that, where are you getting that from? I'm going to go back and read it again. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word being disobedient. Those who find mistakes in the Bible were looking for them. You know why? They're disobedient. Somebody stand and recite the verse to me that tells us that we should look for mistakes in the Bible. Somebody stand and recite that verse. There's not one? Then why are people doing that, Brady? If all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If this Bible tells us what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to view the Bible, who is it that gave people permission to go looking for mistakes in the Bible? Who did that? Thank you, Jimmy. Now, I want to tell you something. I want you to look around this church. Okay? You people are visiting today. We thank God for you. We love you. And going to fellowship with you today. But I want you to look around this church. Okay? I know these people. I've known some of these people my whole life. Okay? I can tell you that I've heard them, I've been with them when they made mistakes. I know their sins. They know some of mine. We don't know all of them. These are not the best people you'll find on planet Earth. But this man sitting over here said, amen. You know why? He believes what this book says. He's not backing down. I'm not backing down. We're going to stay put. And anybody that comes along the path that I think is headed in your direction, I'm going to find out what they believe about the Bible. If they don't believe this Bible's right, I'm going to say, so you stay away from them. They're a wolf in sheep's clothing. You stay away from them. Now, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now I'll get to the Sunday school lesson. No, that was the bell. Bell ring. Listen, again, I'm going to, every now and then, if I feel led to, I'm going to go back over this and add some more to it. There's more to it. But you just remember these two simple rules, people. You measure, you remember these rules when it comes to fellowships that you have, yes. Friends that you have, dialogue that you get into with people. Maybe people, and don't be ignorant to everybody because they don't know what we know. Don't treat them that way. Because I had to be brought to this knowledge. Well, let me say it. I had to be brought back to it. Okay? I walked away from it at one time and God brought me back. And there's a lot of people out there that we're finding in this ministry that really want to know the truth and they don't know where it is. And then when we show it to them plainly in this book, I got people that I just, bless my heart, somebody wrote me and they said, we just went and bought a King James Bible and we cannot put it down. We cannot put it down. It's amazing what we're finding in this book. Those are the people that we're trying to reach. But if one of these little slick willies is headed your way with an aberrant idea of what this Bible says, I'm going to blow the whistle. Because somehow, some way, they're going to use mistakes that they think they found in the Bible to lead you astray. And the only thing that when everybody else has gone away out of you, the only thing you've got left is this book. It's all you've got. Father, I love you. God, I get stirred up. I don't want to be this way. There are parts of me, dear God, that I absolutely abhor. The only thing that I've got right is what I hold in my hand. That's it. And if it wasn't for this book, God, I'd be dead. I'd be shot somewhere. This book, dear God, your word has saved me, sustained me, kept me, held me, anchored me, caused me to look up when I should have looked down. And God, there's people out there that are calling in sheep. They're not of you because they don't believe what you said. And God, I'm going to warn everybody about them. And I'm going to be hated. I already am. But God, I'm going to warn people. Lord, I love you and I love what you've done for me. I thank you, dear God. People just would not believe what you have done for me. And Lord, it's because of this book, and I thank you for it. Lord, instill it in our hearts. Thank you, dear God, that at this church, we don't have to argue about the Bible. We got it. Bless and honor your word here today, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.